Well, today it looks like I have the whole show up here. Woo! I'm very thankful. I'm very honored. Pastor Josh asked me to bring the word, to bring a teaching, to share, because he's away with his family today. He's out of town. But what a privilege it is to stand up here. It's an awesome responsibility to be in this position. Whatever I say, it might stir something in you. It might even change your life. So for me, that is awesome. And I feel that heavy weight of responsibility this morning. But I'm so blessed to be part of Kingsfire Church. I really am a blessed woman. Today, if I look out there, I see all of my family is here with me in church today. Whoa! So that really is a wonderful thing. Not only my natural children, but other men and women of God that I look as part of my family. Amen. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So when Pastor Josh spoke to me, he said, would you like to do the 9 o'clock service? I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. Anything that you'd like me to share? Because maybe he thinks I'll be the heavy and bring in a real firm message that he's not able to talk about. But this morning I said, what do you want me? He said, you said something when you spoke about the offering before. You spoke about living on somebody else's faith. And he said, yes, I'd like you to talk about that. So praise God. All right. I think it's to do with our growing in the knowledge of God and our maturity. Amen. You start off as a new believer, as a baby, and then, you're a newbie. But you want to move forward. You want to grow. You want to mature. You want to become a teenager. And then you become an adult. And then you become like an old person or a granny. But every stage... Every stage of your life, you've got to be growing. Amen. A lot of people think, well, I've achieved so much in God. I like where I am now. I'm just going to stay here on this level. But there's no plateau in God. You're either growing or you're either dying. So that's a serious concept. Praise God. There has to be a progression in your life. There has to be. You know, and I was looking at the life of Jesus with his disciples. You know, they were hanging around him, going everywhere, what he was doing. They kind of relying on Jesus's faith, amen, till they were able to grow. Wherever Jesus went, into everybody's homes, there was food, so the disciples were able to eat whatever Jesus was eating. They were able to, if they were sick, they had a headache, or there was a problem with them, they were with the healer, amen, they got healed. So they were really sharing on Jesus's faith. Wherever he went, wherever they slept, the disciples were with him. Every home that they went into, the disciples were there. And it wasn't until the final hour, the Last Supper in John 14, before Jesus was going to the crucifixion, he said to Thomas and he said to Philip, you know, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. So even Jesus said that to the disciples, that they could do greater works than him. So I'm excited about that. I want to do these greater works because Jesus said that I can do it. I want to be able to stand on my own feet, my own faith, and do what Jesus said that I can do. Praise the Lord. But you know, in life, we all need a teacher. We need a mentor. You know, you go to the gym, you need a trainer. You're on a sports team, you need a coach. We all need somebody to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us, to show us how to do things. But eventually it gets to a point when you say, hey, I know how to do this. I can do it on my own. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, that you have to rely on your own faith, your own believing, and say, Jesus, use me, and I'm going to do it on my own. We can't be relying like on the splashover effect from Pastor Joshua when he preaches. You might come on Sunday and get a little bit. Oh, Pastor Don is up here. There might be like a little transference. But God wants you to be able to do it yourself. Amen. He wants you to operate in your faith. But I'm just looking at my, I'm just looking at Xavier. Sorry, let's put this message on pause for a moment because there's something very important that we've got to do that I forgot to do at the beginning of the service. Praise God. Woo-hoo. Yay! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Yes. All right. We were blowing the shofar, the ram's horn, because we're in the right time of the Jewish New Year, the high holidays for Jewish people. And the shofar, the ram's horn, is always blown in the synagogue, and it signifies the entrance of the king. Amen. So that beautiful sound, it's blown at the time of celebration. And I asked my son-in-law, Xavier, to blow that just so that you could hear that sound of glory. Yeah, it was Amen. So let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Yeah. So we welcome the presence of the King in this building. Amen. Even though it's halfway through what I was sharing, it's okay. Amen. So we need a trainer. We need somebody to encourage us, to teach us. But there really isn't a time factor on that. You know, when you're learning a new skill, it could take a long time, but eventually you get it. Amen. Praise God. I know in my own life, you know, if people out there don't know me, myself and my husband, Vaughn, were the founding pastors of this church, and we came here to Kingston 17 years ago. We came to pastor a small vineyard church on the other side of town, and God blessed us. We grew the church. Some of you are old faithful people that were part of that church plant there in the vineyard. But we grew. We came over here. We've got this building. But, you know, it's going to give you the story fast forward. But we knew that God wanted Pastor Josh and Elaine to take over, to helm this ship and grow this church, because we knew it was time for us to hand over, to travel the nations, to go and be a blessing overseas, because my heart is very much for the nations, especially for India and for Africa. So we set in Joshua and Elaine into the church, and you're blessed about having them as a pastor and a Mrs. Pastor. Amen. So praise God. Remember to keep them in your prayers. Amen. They have a big family. They have a lot of responsibility. So always be praying for the Ortman family. Praise God. But so roundabout way, we were in Jerusalem, and we joined a ministry there. But we were, myself and my husband were world-weary travelers, and we were new to the Holy Spirit experience, the whole Pentecostal movement. But the church there welcomed us in, and in fact, we were living on the leadership's faith at that time. We were there, living in their houses, eating their food, sitting under their Bible school, and they were really supporting us. And many of you, I see that at the moment here with this church body. You come in, and you sit under the teaching, and you kind of, you know, you are living on Josh and Elaine's faith, or my faith. You know, whenever I come into a building, I believe, God, that it's so much better that I'm here. Amen. And what a good attitude to have. The praise is so much better because I'm here. The prayer time is better because I'm here. I'm releasing my faith. So I know what it's like to be kind of like a codependent and to live on somebody else's faith. Living there, you know, eating their food, like I said, and being part of the ministry. You know, they picked us up when we arrived in the airport. We rode in their cars. We stayed there. And it kind of, you know, when you are a codependent on somebody else, I think it gets very frustrating and you get angry. Because, hey, all right, I'm using somebody else's faith, I really need to step out on my own. And I want to encourage you in that today. That's what you need to do, especially with your children, raising your children. We've always believed that you need to let them go out and come back, give them a little freedom and bring them back. It's kind of like the bungee cord idea. You bounce them out, but then they can come back again to safety. You know, you want to encourage your children to be mature adults, to grow up, to be wise. But they learn that at home, but then they have to go out and test their own faith. Sometimes the children become like a boomerang. You know what that is? You let them go, they go out to college, and then they come back home again for a season. But that's a good thing, amen, because there's safety in that home environment. You know, how many dads here have little girls? I remember seeing my husband do this, yes. when it's time to dance, you put the little girls on your feet and hold them, and the daddy walks around with the little girl dancing around. Praise God. But that's a type of picture of what it's like with us, with our Heavenly Father. You know, when you're a new believer, you're standing on like your daddy's feet and you're dancing with him and he's carrying you around. But when you get to be like 15, 20 or whatever, you don't want to be standing on your dad's feet anymore. You want to be standing and dancing on your own feet. I've done that with my grandsons, like on the stairs. I get them to get on my back like a piggyback and I help them down the stairs. But we all need somebody to help us, to encourage us. But eventually we have to learn how to do it on our own feet. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, in a leadership position, when there are a lot of demands on, put on you, it gets very, very draining. You know, we love to pray for you. We love to encourage you. But then there's always a continual pray for me for this, pray for me for that, this, this, and this. God wants you to be able to be strong and stand on your own feet and pray for your own needs. I mean, praise God, there is leadership here. If there is a crisis in your life, we will be there straight away to pray and encourage you. But for the little things, why don't you just try yourself and see and see God work for you, all right? We have an expectation as leadership that you will grow and you will learn. Maybe sometimes Pastor Josh checks in on you and sees how you're doing. There's a great thing that says you have to inspect what you expect. So don't get upset or don't get hurt or don't get offended if Pastor Josh or one of the leadership says to you, so, hey, how you doing? You came for me for prayer. How's it going? Did you do what I told you to do? Yeah. Yeah, that's something. Some people really don't like that, but then you should be able to say, yes, I did that. And look how my life has changed. And look what victory I have. And look what results that I've got. Praise God. I'm going to use another scripture in John 5. It's a great story. Maybe I would just turn there and read that to you. So it's in John chapter 5. And it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there was a pool, which called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whenever the angel stepped in, made the stirring, everybody that went into the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now there was a certain man who was there, had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there in that condition for such a long time, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm coming there, another steps down before me. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. And that was on the Sabbath day. So praise God. I'm just using that as an example because Jesus asked the man, well, what do you want? And the man never said, hey, I want to be healed. The man just said, I have no man. So immediately he was looking on somebody else to help him get out of that problem. He didn't realize he'd been there 38 years struggling with the disease. He never got a chance to get in the water and get healed because everybody else pushed him out of the way. But he had a wrong attitude. He needed somebody else. I think he was like in a victim mode. Oh, I can't do it. Everybody else is getting there before me. I think he had a real bad attitude. So Jesus was asking him what he really wanted. He didn't even answer him. So let's just think about that. When you're living on somebody else's faith, it makes you become like a victim and you feel sorry for yourself. Praise God. So when you come to church on a Sunday morning, there is a blessing about the group anointing. It kind of builds when there's so many people here and you feel the presence of God and you feel that Jesus is really touching your lives. But I want to say to you, when you leave this building, when you go home, what is your experience like on Monday morning when you're by yourself and you have to look at your own situation and your own problems? You're alone. You're all by yourself. It's just you and Jesus. Can you rest on him at that point? Can you feel his everlasting arms around you as he carries you, as he lifts you? I think we need to be doing that right now. Amen. Not relying on a Sunday morning experience. We want that feeling and that anointing on Monday. In fact, every day of the week. Amen. Doesn't have to be here just on a Sunday. Galatians 6, verse 2 talks about bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. That's a great scripture. We have to help each other. We have to lift a brother or a sister when they're down. But further along in that same chapter, down in verse 5, it says, for each shall carry his own load. Okay, so I thought that seems to be a contradiction. Let me just figure out what that means. So when we bear one another's burdens, it means the simple things, like the small things, the reaching out to touch, the text message that you send to somebody, the phone call that you do, you ask how a person's doing. But each of us have to carry our own load. That's like putting on a backpack on our own. And we have to carry that load with Jesus' help. Praise God. So some of you might say, well, I can't do this by myself. I feel safe here when I come on Sunday morning. I like sitting in my seat over there. I know how the service goes. I don't really like change. I don't know if I'll be able to cope with anything else. This is what I want. Don't challenge me. Leave me here in my own little world. But Jesus wants more from you than that. Amen. He desires your whole heart. He desires for you to lay down your life totally, to submit and to surrender to him. And that's something I want to encourage you with this morning. How do you do that? You just ask him. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just say, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I'm a willing, I'm an open vessel. Pour yourself into me. I really need to die. I need to let my selfish ambition, I need that to die so that you can rule and reign in my life. Praise the Lord. It's time to stand on our own feet. You know, like you see out the mama bird, she spends a lot of effort to raise those little chickies in the nest. She's flying backwards and forwards, feeding them. It's a lot of effort and energy. And eventually these chicks are getting bigger and bigger. But then it comes to the point where she has to like encourage them to get out of the nest. And in that situation, they have to find out, well, whoo, I better start flying. I better do this on my own now. So that's just a great picture. Or when you have small children and you're at the swimming pool, I'm not saying that you just throw them in the water, hoping that they'll learn that they'll learn how to swim. No, as a parent, you give them the floaties, you give them a pool noodle. You're with them, you encourage them. Give them words of praise saying, yes, you can do it, you can do it. Eventually, it gets to the point where your children will be able to jump in that pool by themselves and enjoy it and have fun. And that's what my prayer for you today, that you'll be able to experience your own faith when you leave the building and go out here and trust God and see him work on your behalf. And it's a great feeling when you've prayed and when you've asked for something and God answers that prayer, you think, wow. Thank you, Lord. You really do hear my prayers. You really do know what my needs are. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so I don't want you to think that you're always putting everything in. Like I said, with the kids in the swimming pool, eventually they do learn how to do it themselves. It's a funny picture. I don't want to see my sons now in the pool with their floaties and their life jackets on because I would have expected by now that they would have learned. They would have learned how to do it for themselves. So, praise God. So whatever you do, you have to do it in faith. And I want to encourage you that God, it says, there's a great scripture in Malachi. It's talking about giving money, about tithing. But it says, try me in this or prove me in this. That I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it. And I thought, wow, the Lord is saying, try me in this, prove me in this. Yes, I want to encourage you that you can try God and prove him in a situation in your life. If there's a family member that, you know, you don't get along with or is not saved, Why don't you pray and say, Lord, let this be a testimony. Let that one get saved. Let that one get healed so that I will know that you are a true and ever-living God. So God does encourage us to prove him in that. So living on somebody else's faith, living on my faith, Pastor Josh's faith, no. God wants you to be a mature Christian today, to stand on your own faith, to be strong, and to rely on him in everything that you do. So praise God. That's my word for you this morning. Thank you. Praise God. And please don't be like the man that says, I don't have a man, that poor guy. But Jesus did heal him, and he did go to the synagogue, and he did show everybody, even though he was healed on the Sabbath. So praise God. Jesus is merciful, he's loving, and he's kind. So be blessed today. Amen.